What is up, basketball fans? Welcome to the NBA Outlet. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, Corey Waldron. And back on the show, Brendan Smart. How are we doing, fellas?
We're doing great. Nick, how are you guys?
Doing good, Brendan. Welcome back to the pod. Always a pleasure to talk hoops with you. And Nick, we're dwindling down to the last few teams of this preview series.
We're rolling through, prepping for the season, finishing up our preseason, getting ready for the regular season. And with that, we're going to preview the Grizzlies today. As always, though, quick reminder, you can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube. Also head to Designtree/OffTheGlass, grab yourself some OTG merch, save yourself $5 with OTG5 discount code. But before we talk about Grizzlies of this upcoming season, we're going to look back at last year, 33-49. Season didn't go as planned. How would you summarize it all in one emoji?
One emoji. You know the tired emoji?
Yes.
I'll tell you what. That was the end of the G&G. Like, no fan can say G&G anymore. There's no G&G on this roster. Grit and grind. No more. It's yawn, Mike and Mark are on separate teams doing their thing. And now, you know, Memphis seems to have two young studs in Jaren Jackson Jr. and Ja Morant. So, thank God. That's over with.
The emoji I went with is like the no emoji, the no emotion face, not the no emoji, the no emotion face. Because as you just mentioned, Brendan, they got rid of the grit and grind era. It was the end of what had given Memphis so much success in the past. And we saw some flashes of the rookies, but Jaren Jackson got hurt. So it was just a blah year for me and the Grizzlies.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I went with just like the disappointed / like yikes face, because you go into the season and the expectation is playoffs and you end up being a lottery team. And like Brendan mentioned, you know, Conley was traded in the offseason, but Gasol traded during the year. Just the complete expectations and direction of the team all changed in one season. But what was the biggest positive takeaway of last year for the Grizz?
There's several positive takeaways, especially with 33 wins. Jaren Jackson Jr., his rookie season, from what we saw before he was injured. Obviously, with every rookie, there's some downsides, but with Jaren, there's so many positives in terms of how he can take the ball, you know, off the dribble. He's got good handles. He can finish in the post, shoot the three. Another thing that I don't think it's looked at enough is Jaren Jackson Jr.'s relationship with Jonas Valanciunas, who came over in the Marc Gasol trade, and how Jonas, you know, blended in so well with that young roster at the time. You know, Valanciunas signed that 3 or 4 year deal. And his back. So that's a veteran guy that Jaren Jackson can look up to and play next to. So this season.
For me, the biggest positive takeaway is Jaren Jackson Jr. Even though his season was cut short, you have a core centerpiece moving forward in Jaren Jackson. I think he provided everything you want to see from a rookie, you know, averaging 13 points per game, 4.7 rebounds. You want to probably see the rebounds get a little bit higher. But the fact that he can shoot from three, the fact that he shot 50% from the field, there was just a lot of promise there. And now, you know, we're going to talk about who they brought in in Ja Morant. But that pairing looks like almost, not to the same degree, but a Mike Conley, Marc Gasol pairing of the future, right? You have a point guard and a big man to build on going forward.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. You know, Jaren Jackson, you have a rookie that pops off like that, and you just look at his skill set and the fit in the current NBA. Having a big like that is what kind of make or break your team or give you that potential player that's just a game breaker where the other team doesn't have a player that can defend him without making adjustments that hurt them in other ways. So I think Jaren Jackson was a steal of a draft pick. Biggest negative takeaway, though?
Negative takeaway would probably be the lack of talent that transferred from last year's roster to this year's roster. In a lot of rebuild situations, you'll have 3 or 4 guys or maybe 2 or 3 guys that can, you know, come in off of that past roster, last year's roster. But this, you know, last year we didn't have that talent that, you know, you can develop into, you know, what they've built now. So it's basically another rebuilding year. So we're just going to continually rebuild.
Yeah, I think the biggest negative, like, I could pinpoint one guy in particular, like Dylan Brooks. You know, him not getting much time in his sophomore year after having a pretty good rookie campaign, that's obviously a little bit disappointing because you want to see these young guys get run time. You want to see them on the court. But, you know, otherwise, negativity-wise, you moved off, you know, your guys in Gasol and Conley, which is good. You know, maybe Chandler Parsons, once again, not being able to play a lot. But there wasn't too much negative takeaway besides the fact that they obviously didn't reach playoff expectations, and then some of these young guys just didn't play well.
Yeah, and kind of getting to what Brendan got at is there wasn't really talent to develop because it was a playoff expectation, and then you turned into a lottery team and you didn't have an opportunity to really develop guys, especially with some of the injuries to Jaren Jackson and Dylan Brooks. Just these guys not getting enough time on the court to take advantage of, you know, such a bad season. But getting to the OTG power rankings, our staff has them coming in at number 25. Do you guys think this is too high, too low, or fair?
You know, before the trade deadline, I'd say it's fair. I think they're going to go out there and they're going to fight every night. Doesn't mean they're going to produce a lot of wins, but they're going to make a lot of games interesting. You know, you got a lot of veterans on this roster in terms of the guys that will be traded or used for trades, especially when Memphis tries to acquire picks. And you know what happens when a team, you know, trades a lot of veteran talent at the trade deadline? Usually the second half of the season means they're going to absolutely plummet. So I would say Memphis's ranking right here is probably going to be around 28, 29. You guys are very generous, I will say.
I think it's fair. I think with this ranking, we're predicting like a Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson like pop-off season in a lot of ways. Maybe they're a couple spots higher. They could even be a couple spots lower. I think this is fair going into the year, though.
Yeah, I'd probably put them a couple spots lower. I think they'll be one of the bad teams. I think they still might be competitive and play hard, but there's a good chance a lot of these veterans are going to be traded, or they'll just elect to play the young guys because, like we mentioned, it's a rebuilding season. But getting to the offseason, we already kind of mentioned it, the draft picks, Ja Morant, Brandon Clark. How excited are you for these guys, Brendan?
Ja Morant, Brandon Clark are, you know, you really got a core group of young guys that you can build on. Not only this season, but next season and the year, you know, year after that. You really need three good guys. I mean, you've got Jaren Jackson and Brandon Clark down there in the post, and you've got Ja Morant who can ball handle and is a big, unselfish guy. It's rare he takes a shot unless he's driving down the paint. You can build anything around guys like that that are unselfish and continue to push each other. And Brandon Clark's a guy who I thought was going to get taken way before the 21st pick. So having him there at 21 was an absolute blessing to the Grizzlies organization.
Yeah, I mean, Ja Morant is the flashy piece you're getting. This is a guy who can change your franchise. This is a guy who we learned some news. I don't know if we should break it on this pod, but learning some of the news of one of the other rookies possibly missing some time. This gives Ja Morant a really good chance to kind of bolster his rookie of the year case early. This is a guy who's got similarities to Westbrook, maybe not so much of the out of controlness, but the fact that he can facilitate for others. He can push the tempo, can rebound at a decent click. And then you mentioned a guy like Brandon Clark. Brandon, I think this is a guy who's got a lot of NBA ready now talent to him. And then of course it's just about developing.
And then you know we mentioned Jaren Jackson earlier. Pairing him with Morant is just great. Like, now you have your point guard of the future and your big of the future, and that's so crucial in this NBA. And you guys mentioned Brandon Clark. Some people say one of the biggest steals of the draft. But moving on to the offseason in terms of free agents and trade acquisitions, got Andre Iguodala, Tyus Jones, Grayson Allen, Jay Crowder, Josh Jackson, De'Anthony Melton, Solomon Hill, Miles Plumlee. Which of these guys excites you?
You named off a lot of guys right there. the guy that excites me the most, who I didn't think would adapt to the role, is Tyus Jones. You know, he basically accepted the fact that he was the backup point guard, you know, and he's going to take care of Ja Morant in terms of, you know, how he controls himself on and off the court. You've got guys like Jay Crowder who are excited to be in Memphis and have accepted that veteran leadership role. Jay Crowder made it very clear on day one of Grizzlies Media Day, his job this season is to bring the dog out in Jaren Jackson Jr. You've got a guy like Grayson Allen who is fighting for his NBA career because he didn't really get much of an opportunity in Utah. He's getting a great opportunity here in Memphis to show that he belongs in the league, not as a point guard, but as a two guard. So he can play both, but they recommend he play the two guard. You've got guys like De'Anthony Melton and Josh Jackson, two guys from Phoenix who are coming in and possibly making an impact. De'Anthony Melton will no doubt be in the rotation after his injury. He's out 4 to 8 weeks with a back stress injury. And you've got Josh Jackson, who's going to start down the G League with the Memphis Hustle. If everything goes right for Josh Jackson, we know he's come into some things on and off the court. I think step one is accepting that and starting the season with the Hustle in the G League and working his way up from there. Miles Plumlee and Solomon Hill, I think those are the two guys that you're going to see get used in trades at the trade deadline.
Yeah, a lot of names coming in. You know, if Iguodala was buying into the Memphis Grizzlies, I would probably lean on him. But obviously, he doesn't want to be here. He doesn't want to be there, I should say. I'm not.
You don't want him.
And as you just mentioned, you don't want him. So I think, like, you know, Jay Crowder would be my runner-up pick. Jay Crowder, as you mentioned, saying all the right things as a veteran on this roster, pushing to get the dog out of Jaren Jackson is definitely a step in the right direction. And then you're buying low on some other young player, you know, getting Josh Jackson. Obviously he's going to start in the G League. Didn't really work out in Phoenix, but maybe he can get his career turned around. Grayson Allen, we know he's got some of a bad rep for some of his actions in college, and even some in summer league. I believe he had an action or two where he's back to his, like, using his legs to trip other players and being a little bit of a bush league player. But you still have Melton, who I think has a very high ceiling, and then Tyus Jones. At times, probably needed more run time in Minnesota, but they were kind of stuck having to give Teague and Rose the bulkload of those minutes at the guard position. So I think it was the right amount of guys to bring in between the mixture of veterans and young guys. And you're just hoping that some of these guys kind of pop off because you're buying some in on some guys who right now could be out of the league in a couple of years.
Yeah, I think they took flyers on a lot of young guys, and that's what you do when you're in a rebuilding situation. If you hit on, you know, one out of four of these guys, it's success. And then with the veterans, it's possible trade chips. You know, Iguodala doesn't want to play there, but maybe he could get them a second-round pick or maybe even a first-round pick from one of these contending teams. Even Jay Crowder at the deadline, I think, is going to be an attractive name for a contending team. So overall, with the combination, like Corey mentioned, some vets for some trade chips and some young guys for some flyers. But players out, we got Mike Conley, Justin Holiday, Avery Bradley, Chandler Parsons, Delon Wright, Tyler Dorsey, CJ Miles, Javon Carter. Out of these guys, who do you wish they were able to keep, Brendan?
I want to say Javon Carter because I liked where he could have gone. But at the same time, I think Memphis hit on De'Anthony Melton and Josh Jackson in that trade. So, I mean, the other guys had to go. CJ Miles was a good trade ship. Of course, Mike Conley opened up a lot of cap space for Memphis to make moves and get acquired picks. So out of that list, Javon Carter is the only guy that we wasted a pick on that we as the media and Grizzlies fans saw a lot of potential in terms of his defense and where he could grow his offense.
I mean, at least I must be well tuned in with Memphis because Javon Carter was a guy I put down as well. coming out of West Virginia, one of the few rookies I knew last year going in. And like you mentioned, was a defensive-minded guy who maybe could have fit into the future. But again, you got other young pieces in the deal that he moved out on. So it's not a major loss for really any of these guys.
Yeah, he did put up some good minutes for Memphis, just being kind of that gritty guy, picking people up full court and whatnot. Delon Wright was a guy I thought that they could have kept. But then you look at his age at 27, maybe they thought he was a little bit too late in their timeline. But still, nothing too crazy considering where they're going as a franchise. It's not like they've lost any elite young talent that's going to hurt them down the line. But talking about the team in general, what would be the biggest X factor for the Grizzlies, non-player and non-health?
I think this season you've got to look at progression in all areas in terms of how this roster adapts to Taylor Jenkins' offense, the five-out offense, basically. Five-out spread, you're rarely going to see a big like Jaren Jackson or Valanciunas in the post. Overall, you've got to look at progression, especially in a season like this, because it's pivotal. Because next season, Memphis has not a ton of money, but a good amount of money to go out there and acquire a free agent or make some moves. So you got to figure out where you're at this season. So progression is what I put.
Yeah, I mean, progression is surely what this team needs to have going forward. I also, for me, my real X factor is Taylor Jenkins, another new head coach in Memphis. You know, this team has had some turnover over the last couple of years. David Fizdale, Bickerstaff took over last year, and now you have a new head coach in Taylor Jenkins this year. So how does he set the new culture for the Grizzlies going forward? Obviously, as you mentioned at the start of the pod, Brendan, we're moving out of that grit and grind era. Does this follow a similar pattern, a similar road? Does he take it down a different direction? Does he get the most out of Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson early? So for me, it's Taylor Jenkins the guy to watch.
Yeah, with the argument that coaching and player development is the biggest X factor, how do you think Jenkins fits with that, Brendan?
He specializes in it. I mean, that's where he started. He started in the G League. Not only did he start in the G League, he started in the front office, if I'm not mistaken, over in San Antonio. So his specialty is developing young guys. Once you develop them, what can he do after that, though? You know, once you get a guy to his potential, where do you fit him in? So, I mean, the big thing with Taylor Jenkins is going to be, you know, like I said, progression in all areas, on and off the court. You know, how and my big thing is, especially with this franchise, how in the community is this team going to be and, you know, progressing on the court? So that's
it's almost like it's a progression year for Jenkins as well. Like you mentioned, being known for player development. Now it's like, how do you become an NBA head coach and manage a game, which is a completely different kind of area. But what's the starting lineup going to be on opening night?
All right. So my starting five, who I think they're going to put out there on opening night, John Morant at the one. I think Dylan Brooks gets the nod at the two. He scored 21 points in the third quarter the other night, scored 31 altogether. Jay Crowder at the three, Jaren Jackson Jr. at the four, and Jonas Valanciunas at the five.
That is the same starting five that I'm rolling with.
It sounds good.
Do you guys think that they could elect to go with Kyle Anderson at the small forward position, obviously giving him that big contract, having injuries last season, or do you think it's Jay Crowder's spot?
I think it's Jay Crowder. And the only reason I say that is Kyle Anderson played that role last season. He played the four behind Jaren Jackson Jr. because he can ball handle, he can play in the post. You know, he's not the flashiest of guys, so the post really fits him well, you know. So, I mean, you got an extra ball handler out there with Kyle Anderson off the bench. So, I don't see him coming. He can start, but I'd rather see him off the bench like he did last season.
Yeah, I think he comes off the bench because I think you want floor spacing on that starting unit, and you want guys who can shoot. And obviously, Kyle Anderson isn't the strongest of jump shot shooters.
Absolutely not.
Now, moving on to player to watch, who's the guy on Memphis?
Player or players?
Give me one.
I'll give you one guy, and I think this is going to be a big breakout year for him too, and I think that's Dylan Brooks. Dylan Brooks is a dog, and when you see his dog come out, it just becomes how consistent can he do it. Like the other night, I'm watching Oklahoma City and Memphis play, and he scores 21 in the third quarter. How do you space that out, though? You know, how do you become consistent? And I think this season, Dylan has really put his mindset in how can I do this consistently? Especially if he's healthy, Dylan Brooks is a big guy to watch this season.
All right, so you made my job easier, and you're definitely going to make Nick's job easier by going with Dylan Brooks. So that wasn't, I don't think, on either one of our radars necessarily. But for me, I'm going to go with Ja Morant. Obviously, rookie year, a lot of expectations coming into the league. And this is a guy you want to be able to say is your building block going forward with Jaren Jackson. And you just want to see that progression. You want to see him coming into the league by storm. We've seen some really nice moments from him last year, obviously in college, averaging 24.5, 10 assists, 5.5 rebounds on 49, 36, 81 shooting splits is all really promising. Mm-hmm. So you just want to see this develop into the next level. You want to see him probably finish in the top three, if not top two, maybe even win rookie of the year. You want him to be in that conversation, because if he's not in that conversation, it means it's probably not going as well as it should. But for me, it's Ja Morant.
Yeah, and like Corey said, you guys made my life really easy, and I can just go with Jaren Jackson here. Obviously, he's the player to watch because he has the potential to be the best player on this team and maybe, you know, a number one option on a contending team if he were able to hit his ceiling with his ability at that size. So it'll be really interesting, especially in a year where there isn't the veterans to support him necessarily in terms of a Gasol or a Conley. Yeah, they'll have Crowder and possibly Valanciunas as two guys that can support him, but it's not the same because you're looking at Jackson to be that best player, and it's amazing. Major stride for him this year. But what's worst case scenario for the team?
Worst case scenario for this team would be a broken offense all season. I mean, an offense with no direction. Defense is what Jenkins specializes in, but you get that Mike Budenholzer offense. If you get it straightened out and everything, but if you don't, I mean, you're lacking progression, you're lacking confidence, and a lot of things in year one. And everybody knows this. Year one of your first year coaching is the most pivotal year of your career.
So, I think worst case scenario for this team would be having the worst record in the NBA. Yeah. Like being the dead last team, having like, you know, maybe less than 20 wins or just 20 wins. Maybe we don't see the kind of stride we're expecting for some of these young guys. That would be my worst case scenario.
See, I'm not really that concerned with their record. I'm more concerned with just the development of the young players, because they do trade some of these vets and get picks in here. The team's going to be bad. They might be able to be somewhat competitive, but when you have so many young players and you're depending on them to play big roles, having a bad record seems kind of likely. So my worst case would just be no growth from the young guys and maybe injuries that kind of hinder them from improving, kind of what we saw for some of the players last year. But on a positive note, best case scenario.
Best case scenario, Memphis wins 33 games. And I think that's honestly somewhere they'll hover around 28 to 33 wins. Best case scenario. John Morant wins Rookie of the Year, and Jenkins implements his fast-paced offense sooner than expected. When I say sooner than expected, I want to see it like 25 to 30 games into the season. You know, where everybody kind of looks like every time they come down the floor, they know where everybody needs to be. A solid rotation, that's going to be best case scenario, a solid rotation in the first 10 games, so you know who's going to play night in and night out. And that's really it. I mean, it's a rebuilding season, so progression and just staying true. So,
yeah, for me, best case scenario would be somewhere in the upper 20s for wins or lower 30s in wins. But with that said, you also are able to move some of these vets for more assets while you're seeing your young guys have a very good year.
I agree. I think it would just be about the young players taking that jump forward, and now it's like, okay, we have our cornerstones in Morant and Jackson, and then maybe you get lucky in the lottery and land the number one pick. Like I said, I don't think record really matters. Jenkins, you know, puts a system in, looks competitive. You see the stepping stones there for to take the next step the following season. But again, it's really the first year of the rebuild, so I don't even think a best case scenario can be that high for you. But what's actual predictions?
I'd say a bottom three team in the NBA. In terms of just overall team offense and defense, I mean, because you're just young, you know, you're going to have your inconsistencies. I wouldn't say, you know, it's going to be a completely down season, because you've got a ton of talent that you're growing to put something together next season. I think next season they'll work towards something greater. But this season it's going to be more of how, like we talked about earlier, what is Jenkins' identity in terms of how does he want them to play? And how do John Morant, Jaren Jackson, and Brandon Clark, how do those guys progress in year one and translate that into year two? So I'm not like Nick said, I mean, records are one thing, but overall where we started the season and how we're going to finish is where I'm looking at.
Yeah, my actual prediction is 25 win for the Grizzlies. I think that puts them in the bottom three teams in the NBA. I think we see some progression from these young guys. I think we see a couple guys get traded. But again, you're not expecting a high win total at this point in time if you're a Memphis Grizzly fan.
Yeah, I went with 24 wins, last in the division. And I think John Morant will finish, you know, top three in Rookie of the Year. I don't know if he'll win it. We have, like, Corey and I haven't given our predictions on awards yet, but I definitely think he'll be in the mentions, especially because his usage will be really high, I think, and they'll give him the ball and kind of let him do his thing. And it'll be up to him to kind of win the award. Any other topics you guys wanted to touch on before we move on the league pass?
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Iguodala as we go into the year. The big question mark of Andre Iguodala has been, you know, kind of the one of the bigger storylines with the Memphis Grizzlies. Will he get bought out? Will he get traded? Will he show up? So how this eventually unfolds to me is very interesting.
The another big thing, since we're talking about Andre Iguodala, you know, the Grizzlies have a brand new front office. They're not giving anything away. So, I mean, the old front office would have made a move on Iggy this offseason. You know, nothing sounded great. Just wait until these teams are really desperate and they're one player away at the trade deadline. That's when they'll give you that first-round pick. So I like the way Memphis's front office has handled everything this offseason. First year, Tayshaun Prince and Zach Kleiman, they're doing a great job. So it would be interesting to see how they handle the trade deadline.
It is very important. A lot of people wanted them to just buy Iguodala, but they held on to it, and they might grab themselves a pick or possibly even a young player. So it'll be interesting how that, you know, situation unfolds. We know both the Clippers and the Lakers are very interested, but who knows, another team can kind of swoop in if they're having a very successful year. But getting to league pass, how would you rate the Grizzlies 1 through 10?
Oh, my goodness. Give me an idea where you got – give me an idea of what you guys put before I sound crazy.
You don't want to know.
Okay. So I went 7, and then I put in parentheses, I said based on matchup. Depends on who Memphis is playing. Now, if they're playing the Clippers, it's probably like a 3. But if they're playing somebody, you know, that's decent, they're not amazing, it's going to be fun to watch Ja and Jaren Jackson play. And then you sprinkle in Brandon Clark and some of the other guys that could potentially blossom too. it's going to be an interesting team to watch. And interesting can mean a lot of things. But I'm firm on the 7, though. I mean, league pass, it's going to be fun. And outside of, like, if the Lakers are on or the Clippers are on or Houston's playing or Golden State, Memphis is probably one of those teams. It's going to be fun to watch them blossom.
So I went with a 3.5.
My goodness.
So you can give, like, you know, 1.5 to Ja Morant, 2 to Jaren Jackson, because I'm only viewing Memphis for those two players. I could give a damn about anybody else. And when I probably watch them, they're either on national television, which I don't even know if they have any games on national television. If they do,
man, chill, bro. You're shooting me right now. Chill.
Or when they match up against the Pacers. It's just a team that, you know, with the parity we have in the league, I just can't give them a high league score rating because I think there's other teams that are going to be more enjoyable. But if you're going to be tuning in, I do think there will be nights, like you mentioned, certain matchups where Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson blossom as a pairing.
Yeah, I think you're right, Corey. I think they're not necessarily a team you're going to go to watch every single night. When they match up against other young teams, I know some people have circled like New Orleans versus Memphis or Atlanta versus Memphis. When you get a lot of young players in the same game that are trying to be those next stars in the NBA, it'll be exciting. But I just rolled with a 4.5 here. Sorry.
Hey, at least you were nice. At least you were nice. I mean,
I have a reputation to keep up.
Is that your lowest or where does that rank?
No, that's tied with the Knicks. The Thunder and Suns were the lowest with 2 apiece, but we also haven't done the Hornets yet. So,
Oh my God, I don't know how you watch that.
Okay. What TV show would you compare to the Grizzlies? Now this can be based off of watchability or plot.
It could be based off of what?
Watchability or the plot of the TV show. So it could just be something that's similar in terms of you like it, or it could be something that relates to the plot.
First thing that came to my mind, and you guys are probably gonna think I'm crazy, but when I think of the Grizzlies, it's Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson, Step Brothers. That's the first thing that came to my head. You know, they're kind of goofy. They're goofy and they're young and they're funny. It's a funny little thing they have. So Step Brothers was my thing. That was the first thing that came to my head.
Fair. So I went with Bob Burgers, and I gave Nick shit for this pick.
You did. For whatever it was on a team that I rated like a 5 or above.
I know. So this is why I went with Bob Burgers, because even though I won't be tuning in, so my league pass rating is a little bit lower, I do think when you watch this show, because I'm a big fan of the guy who plays Bob's voice, and I'm a fan of a couple of the kids. So I do think there will be some fun nights, just like when you're watching the Grizzlies, there will be some fun nights with Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson. Am I going to be tuning in every week to watch an episode? No. Am I going to be keeping track of episodes? Probably not. But if it's on, I'll give it some humor. I can probably find some enjoyment in it. But more or less, it's not something that I'm looking to watch on a nightly basis.
I went with Law & Order SVU, kind of like the Grizzlies. It used to be good, and now it's kind of going through a weird phase.
Oh, man.
It's not necessarily must-watch or anything like that. So that's my comp. We're sorry we hurt your soul, Brennan. At least we waited to the end of the episode.
Hey, reality hurts sometimes. That's okay.
But, guys, anything else you want to mention before we get out of here?
Hey, Corey, shoot, man. I'll follow you.
You can follow me. Wait, what are we doing? We're doing plugs, right?
You can do plugs, yeah. You don't have anything else on the Grizzlies, then go ahead.
Oh, yeah, no, I was about to say, I mean, I think just watch out for Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. because these are two guys who have all-star level potential, and they both actually have borderline star potential. But obviously, we need to see it come together. We need to see it on the NBA court. But the Grizzlies actually do have a very bright future, even though I may have sounded extremely low on them to this point in time.
Yeah, I definitely think that's an all-star duo possibly in the future. Ja Morant definitely has all-star potential, and Jaren Jackson, I just love a big that has that type of skill set that can almost do everything. All he just needs to do is really polish his game.
The last thing I'm going to say is I think Ja Morant will be top 5 this season. I don't know if this is going to be a hot take or not. Top 5 this season in assists. That's just my
assists. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Assists.
I mean, he is a very good passer. I've seen some of his scouting before college.
He can see the floor crazy for his – you know, his first season, I've seen a handful of games, but the way he sees the floor and things develop and everything, it's wild.
Keep going.
No, that was the last thing I was going to say. I mean, top 5 in assists is pretty bold, but at the same time, I can see it.
I just wanted to say that that guy, Scout with Brian, we all know who I'm talking about. The Twitter guy who comes at your throat if you talk bad about him. He did have a tweet claiming and saying that he thinks John Moran will come into the league being a top three passer already. Like,
I said top five, so yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying. So it's somebody even higher, and you know he's never wrong. So I'm just saying.
Hey, Corey, man. Hey, chill, man.
And if he is, he'll get blocked tomorrow. So
I'll say this: I think Morant probably has the potential to be a top five in assists this year, but due to his teammates not necessarily being the best offensive threats, it'll make it more difficult for him.
Very true. Very true.
But now let's hit him with the plugs, fellas.
All right. You can find me on Twitter at BSmart21, and that's really about it.
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at KWALHoops. That's KWAL Hoops. You can also follow my podcast, Full Access Hoops, which is a proud part of the OTG Basketball Podcast Network.
And if you want to follow Off the Glass, at OTG Basketball, OTGBasketball.com is our website. And obviously, you can find the show on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, Dash Radio, and YouTube.
Peace out, knuckleheads.
Peace out.